The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And then to continue the talks on loving kindness, on metta, goodwill, I delight in just saying those words. I think they're such wonderful qualities, and touches something precious and valuable inside to just evoke the qualities of metta, kindness, friendliness, goodwill. And that wasn't always the case for me. When I was first introduced to the teachings of metta, loving kindness, I had a background where the way I understood them is that they were artificial. They were kind of creating artificially feelings of goodwill or kindness that were kind of sticky or excessively sweet or something, and maybe sentimental. And I was much more practical and pragmatic. I just wanted to have a spirituality that was just about waking up, just about being present in a direct, unmediated way. And this loving kindness thing was just kind of getting in the way. And so when the teachers, my early Theravadin teachers, would do guided loving kindness meditation, I just tuned them out and just continued doing my basic mindfulness practice until such a time that through the mindfulness itself, it was kind of like mindfulness is a tenderizing force. Something settled, relaxed, something way I was holding myself closed began to open. And at some point, I started having this very nice feeling inside that was kind of new to me. And it had a very, very pleasant, very easeful, warm, nice feeling, very different than compassion, which I had already tapped into through practice, but this other thing. And then at some point I thought, maybe this is what these teachers are talking about. Yes, it is. This is what they mean by this goodwill and this metta. And so rather than being something I had to construct or make happen, it was welling up inside. And then recognizing it, then the whole thing about practicing metta, loving kindness, became quite valuable for me and a very valuable part of my life and a life. And so when I say these words at the beginning of metta, goodwill, kindness, just saying the words kind of touches something in my heart that kind of has a feeling of kind of a little bit singing. My heart sings a little bit to those concepts and ideas. So anyway, so this is a topic for this week. And one of the things I want to say is that in emphasizing goodwill and loving kindness, and this tradition, Theravadin tradition, also does it for oneself. Also meditation practices, closing your eyes and kind of focusing inwardly to your own inner experience. It's easy to criticize it as being self-centered. In fact, back in the early years in which I was meditating, I haven't heard this for many years now, but people would complain that people doing 40 minutes of meditation each day were spending their time being selfish. And someone who's religious should really be out there doing things to the world, sacrificing themselves. And the people who complained about the selfish meditators meditating for 45 minutes or 40 minutes or however long it was were probably spending 2 or 3 hours a day watching television. But that belonged to a different domain of life than the religious life. And the religious life should really be about being altruistic and doing religious life that was, inward, what they saw as being selfish. I don't think it's that way at all. And certainly wasn't for the Buddha. It's not a self-centered path, because self-centeredness, being kind of preoccupied with oneself, is a way of actually harming oneself. And if you really care about yourself and see yourself as important, you wouldn't be selfish because of the harm it does for oneself. Also, the idea is that there's a mutuality in this world of ours, that the more we care for ourselves and love ourselves and free ourselves, the more that we benefit others. And the more, if we benefit others without harming ourselves, that we're also benefiting ourselves. And so this practice of loving kindness, you can see this in it, that as we offer our care to others, this metta care, this way of this kindness and this friendliness, we benefit also, because these if they're really genuine, not artificial, not forced, not obligated, but arising from this kind of wonderful place inside, that that as we express it, as we live it, this vibrates, this flows, this opens up, there's a warmth happens here. It's nourishing for the person who has the kindness. Compassion also is meant to nourish the one who is compassionate. And if we're not somehow nourished, or there's not some satisfying feeling in having loving kindness, it probably isn't quite loving kindness, or it's loving kindness that's mixed up with other things. So in loving others, the loving person benefits. And in the teachings of Buddhism, the loving person is allowed to benefit from the love. It's not selfish. It's just a byproduct. It's not selfish, because developing oneself and growing oneself is a way to become a person who's more beneficial to others, more able to meet others and really see other people and offer a presence as if that person is important, maybe the most important person at the moment of the time. And if we diminish ourselves and feel somehow that we're less and not important, or we demean ourselves or critical of ourselves or don't have, you know, this care and valuing of ourselves, then actually we have less to offer others. Then when we meet someone else, we're not really meeting them fully. They don't feel the full goodness of who we are. They feel a kind of goodness if we're trying to be nice, but it's not really full. And it might be a little bit trying too hard sometimes. But to relax deeply and be at ease and be at home in oneself, and to feel that, you know, regardless of one's foibles, regardless of our shortcomings, that we are completely deserve and appropriate for us to love and care for this being here for ourselves. It isn't like everyone in the world deserves love and care, except there's one exception, one person who just doesn't make it the cut, and that's oneself. It doesn't work that way. Everyone is. So this practice of mindfulness, this practice of loving kindness, is a practice of including caring for oneself. And mindfulness is a self-care process. So the idea is to care for ourselves and love for ourselves, see ourselves as important, and really learn how to soften and relax the ways in which we suffer, the ways in which we close down and diminish ourselves, so we have more to give others. You can't teach a foreign language unless you learn the language first yourself. You can't, there's many situations where you can't learn a teach or a path of freedom unless you've been on that path for yourself. And you can't know love. You can't offer love unless you really know it here for yourself. And so to really, it's okay to benefit from the practice of love, of kindness and all that. Now, it's not selfish, this focus here and this love for ourselves, because it's possible. One of the great delights of, I think, a spiritual life, and I've heard other people in other religions say this outside of Buddhism, that it's possible to have lots of love for others, warmth, kindness, friendship, goodwill, whatever those words work for you, and not need to have it come back. So not be our well-being doesn't have to be dependent on being loved by others. We have a bigger need to love, as adults, we have a bigger need to love than we do to be loved. And if we have a strong need to be loved, chances are that that need, I want to respect the need for sure, that that need is most benefits or is more found or resolved if we're the one who love ourselves. If we can learn to offer care and kindness and goodwill to this person here. And if we do this, if we practice the practice of loving kindness or just practice more goodwill in our life and learn to explore it and feel it and appreciate it when it's there and expand it, enhance it whenever we can. The Buddhist tradition lists 11 benefits that come from doing loving kindness. And ancient description of this specifies it's really developing this to a high degree, but I think we get some of these benefits even if we just start doing it in small ways. So it's kind of a delightful list, and I wanted to read the list of 11 benefits of loving kindness. One sleeps happily. One wakes happily. One has no bad dreams. One is loved by others. So one doesn't need to be loved by others, but one is loved by others. So that's kind of a nice balance. And one is loved by non-humans. So maybe that means animals. Or maybe it means the devas. Buddhism believes in all these kind of devas that are floating around. And because the next one is guarded by the devas. And I think that when one practices kindness and friendliness and goodwill, that there are seen and unseen ways in which the situation, the people around us then treat us differently. And there is a kind of protection that comes with it. A fire, poison, or sword won't touch one. So I don't know about that, but it's quite a wonderful benefit if it's true that you're protected from fire and poison and weapons. The next one is good for meditators. One's mind becomes concentrated quickly. One's mind becomes concentrated quickly because you have less to be agitated for or less to be upset about if there's more love. And so it's easier to kind of get settled. And then it says here, number 9, is one's complexion becomes clear. So that's nice. It's a lot cheaper than other ways of getting a clear complexion. One dies with a mind free from confusion. Now this is a real benefit. I think how we die is, I just see it as such a, to die well, to die at ease, at peace, to die with kind of an open heart, without confusion, is one of the great potentials or possibilities. And mindfulness is said to support that, but so does this goodwill, this metta. And then the 11th one, if there's no higher attainment is reached, one is reborn in the Brahma realms. So some of these benefits speak to some of us moderns and some of us don't, but I just delight in this grand list of wonderful benefits of it all. I'll read you one more. It says that the Buddha once asked a group of 3 monks, are you living together on friendly and harmonious terms, as milk and water mix together? Do you regard each other with affection? And the monk said, they were. And the Buddha said, well, how do you do this? And they answered, since it occurred to me that I am fortunate to be living with others in the holy life, the practice life, I have loving kindness towards them. In speech, conduct, and thought, I openly and privately extend my loving kindness. So to live together like milk and water, harmoniously mixing together with others, is one of the benefits of loving kindness. So thank you, and look forward to being here tomorrow. And sorry I went over. It hasn't usually happened this way. But, you know, the topic is love, so thank you.